This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Kentucky Derby winning horse, perhaps, and its trainer. Anthony Fauci says the U.S. might start being a little more liberal as people get vaccinated, meaning take off those masks indoors. Wow. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. Hope you are well and had a fabulous weekend, or at least you got to chill somewhat. Maybe that's the better way to put that. It really was a crazy weekend in the sense that we had some weird weather. There was tornadoes. There was hail. Is there anything new about Mother Nature and what happens this time of year, right? You have hurricane season. You have hail. I think you have hail season. You definitely have more tornadoes in the spring. And then it pops up again. But what we are seeing is the sun is shining on all of us in a different way in the U.S. because more people are starting to make their way outside of their caves. That's what I call where you live. And you're seeing more folks that are gathering together for music, for events, for festivals, out at restaurants, out at places of worship, out at summer camps, visiting family, going to hotels, in the pools. Is this a good thing? Yes. Yes, it's a good thing. How long have we waited for this? Well, 14 months. 15 months in some cases, depends on where you're living. Sadly, 855,000 plus lost their lives in this horrid battle with this wretched SOB of a virus. And who knows what the future holds with the variants and booster shots and all the in-betweens and the anti-vaxxers and the vaxxers and all of the tug of war that we have gone through. But the big question is just a simple one, and it's not one that's necessarily political, but I guess political if you just don't believe in wearing the mask at all. But masks are a hot-button issue. We had the unofficial poll forever and a day on this show about wearing the mask or not, and places that flat-out required them, and in the beginning how people threw tantrums about the mask, and even on planes that's still happening. And you still have to wear masks in many, many places, so it's not that masks are done with. No, they aren't. Masks are complicated. It's a complicated issue for everyone. Again, because of how they feel about wearing the mask, the confusion over the mask, and if you're vaccinated, why do you have to wear a mask, and so on and so forth. But I guess with infection rates falling even further, now it's about when can you loosen indoor mask restrictions? When does that happen? COVID-19, more than half the spread is estimated to come from people with asymptomatic and pre-symptomatic infections who have no knowledge they're carrying the virus. So the solution initially was to recommend wearing masks when people were in public. But then the question still is mask wearing necessary if 57% of the U.S. or adults have, U.S. adults have gotten at least one dose of the vaccine, 43 are fully vaccinated, and natural infections have created immunity in millions more. So outdoor mask guidance for fully vaccinated people with the falling coronavirus cases and the number of vaccinated Americans, that's different. If you're fully vaccinated, what the CDC is saying is you can go unmasked among friends from multiple households during small outdoor gatherings or when dining outside. But unvaccinated people should still wear a mask at those kind of gatherings. Here's the thing. How do you know who's vaccinated and who's not? I think people talk about it all the time, but then there's people who don't talk about it. And especially when you're in an area where you, like a hotel, there's no, you don't have to say you're vaccinated. You don't have to say anything about vaccination. They can't ask you about vaccination. So if you're at the pool at a hotel, I mean, anything goes, right? The theory is, because of the, we don't have herd immunity, but because of the amount of people, the evidence is starting to show that the, like Moderna, is very effective at not only reducing asymptomatic infections, but also reducing viral load if a vaccinated person does get infected. So that part's good. The possibility of being a vaccinated silent carrier is lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. It's not, no, it's not zero, but it's pretty low. So that's good for the odds of the people around you. So that's about the environment. Outdoors, probably, you know, breathing someone else's air with enough virus to give you infection is probably pretty darn small. But indoor is always the worry. So when do the masks come off? Have the masks come off in your neck of the woods? Are people, you know, are people in restaurants not wearing masks? And the answer to that is, I think a lot of people aren't wearing masks in restaurants because they're eating, so they take off the mask and then they just leave the mask off. They're drinking, they're eating, they just leave it off. But to fully ditch the indoor mask mandate, I think, is going to be in the summer. I think that what's going to happen is by July 4th, it's going to be, I mean, doesn't that make sense, right? Somebody said that to me. Our Independence Day from the mask. So maybe it will be July 4th where it becomes official. But you definitely are seeing less and less of it, and you're definitely seeing more people that are starting to emerge, which is a really, really, really good thing, I think. And people that are vaccine hesitant, there's incentives that are being thrown out there. Only a few people are picking up on those, but some are. Free baseball tickets to a pro game, $50 gift certificates, other things from companies, they're throwing that in too as well. Have you been affected by the new toilet paper pandemic syndrome? And you know what that is? Lumber. If you have to build a fence, you have to have something put on your house. I had to have soffits. If you don't know what a soffit is, look it up, because I didn't know it was officially called that either. I hate to say that. As much as I think I have smarts. I didn't have smarts when it came to particular areas of the house. The lumber was triple the price to get them repaired. It was worth it. It had to happen. It was just bad timing. You know, other things that have gone up, and we've said this, steel, copper, crazy record prices. Lumber prices all-time high, and that's because of the home building boom and repairs. Cars. So the computer chips, the shortages of computer chips, I've talked about that a lot. And the same thing for electronics and household appliances that have chips. Better check to see what you have that needs chips, which is just about everything in your life, to make sure it's still up and running and could be running for a while. Bad time on some of this, for sure. And who knows what else goes on that list? Anything when it comes to office supplies, desks, there was a shortage of desks, and there still is. Go to Staples and try to find the kind of ink you need. You might get lucky, but you might not. It's a roll of the dice for me, frankly. And it's not Staples' fault. It's that there's so much of a demand for it, they can't keep it in stock. All right, we're talking to the creator of the Dove ads, that campaign to empower women, let's say. That's coming up next.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com. This time around is Mike Hemingway, and his book is The Legend of Icelamor. And it's interesting, we had we spent some time off the air talking about his book and a lot of other things. He's a fascinating guy, so I'm pleased to welcome him to the show. Mike, thanks for coming on.
Pleasure, thank you.
Let's talk about the road to writing this book. What led you to write this book?
In the words of another writer, it was a long and winding road. I'm going to rewind this tape a little bit to give you a glimpse into how it started, I suppose. I'm in advertising, been in advertising for many more decades than I care to admit. I joined as an invoice clerk, then became an account exec. And after about 8 or 9 years, I became a director and then a vice chairman of a couple of different agencies, but I ended up in a place called Grey International, which is a very, very big, excellent agency, part of WPP, if anybody knows about them. And the business I was given to work on was Procter & Gamble's Health and Beauty Care. And so what are they? You would know them as Camay, Pantene. I gave the word provitamin. I made it up. I found it in a dictionary. It means nothing, but it sounds nice. And also I worked on CoverGirl. And I do strategy and the research, if you like. I'm not the creative person, although I work with them. And working on CoverGirl, one of the thing that struck me was how ugly the beauty industry was. It was awful. the amount of things of working with the fabulous models, Nikki Taylor was one, many other models, but the regimen they went through not to eat. I mean, some models we use a tissue in case they put on a little bit of extra weight. And I was kind of appalled by it, but in a sense one had to work on it because we are contracted, and Procter & Gamble is an excellent company. They democratize quality. How do you democratize? You make quality available at an everyday price. A brilliant company. And they had democratized beauty. In the 1960s, beauty was available to all. But with that democratization came the chase for youth. And as beauty became available, I noticed that the language of beauty was always in the negative. Is your hair dry? Have you got crow's feet? Have you got sagging skin? How about anti-aging? What about wrinkles? It's all about solutions, problem solution, a bit like laundry. And do you know that the language of beauty, if it was started now, it would be banned because it breeds worry into individuals that says they are not good enough. And I kind of, to be honest, I didn't like it. I didn't know quite what to do about my dislike because Procter & Gamble, we were doing great work, redefining beautiful. But I just didn't like it. And I didn't like what was prevalent then, think of heroin chic, extraordinarily skinny girls going up and down the aisle looking like they were on heroin. The drug, wondering if they're going to put on an ounce and all that kind of stuff. Anorexia was taking hold. Some of the models died of anorexia. And I kind of wondering, kind of, what am I doing in this? But it's a free world, and, you know, in a sense, but kind of, is it free? And where did it all start? In the year 2000, I was invited by a wonderful lady called Shelley Lazarus, who's the chairman emeritus of Ogilvy Worldwide, another great advertising agency, to join Ogilvy Worldwide in New York to run the Dove business, which is part of Unilever. So I was the managing director of Ogilvy's Dove business. And there I met two remarkable clients, extraordinary, with extraordinary vision about beauty. They've become the greatest of friends. And they believe that there are parts that people should talk about what the issues are. And we were pushed back. I very much joined them on that thinking. Pushed back. People saying, well, why are you going to talk about what beauty is and what is real beauty? Why not talk about how good our products are? I said, well, we can talk about both. Why not? But will it sell? I said, will it sell what? Dove, if its point of view as a brand, its views will be shared by our key target. We just need to talk to them a different way and not exploit illness and things like that. So, worked with them, and we came up with Campaign for Real Beauty, which is now known as Dove's Real Beauty Campaign, which is 16 years old. And by the way, Alessandro Manfredo, who is still running Dove, beautiful guy, beautiful in every sense guy, Italian, working out of London, just released a new viral. It's called Reverse Selfie. Reverse Selfie. I don't know if you've seen it. It's absolutely brilliant. It almost goes back to the original evolution that we did, the Dove evolution 16 years ago. So we started to do something different, which was to talk about intelligent, honest, empathetic, and emotionally true campaigns. Because we found out that what really motivated a mother was the emotional health of their daughter, not necessarily the quality of her soap. I know it came as a bit of a shock to the client. The soap was more important than the daughter, but there you go. So we did it, and it then got bigger and bigger and bigger. Dove put on $2 billion worth of business. $2 billion. Why? Does anyone in this world think a soap won't get your skin clean? They know it. They don't need to be told, whiter than white, is your hair clean, close up clean. But suddenly there was a brand was talking about things that mattered. And when your spontaneous awareness, i.e. your fame, is big, so are your sales. Your sales mirror your fame. The key is famous for what? And we were famous for caring. And at Dove, we said, you may not like yourself, you may feel you're not quite right, but we want to let you know that you're welcome here. We think you're beautiful. And that was it. And that's what we keep saying. We think you're beautiful, and you're welcome. Whereas the other brands are saying, you've got to be blonde, got to be tall, got to talk like this because you are worth it. We just said, we love you and watch out for your daughters because your daughters are entering this world as well. Arm them. It's called put a love armor around them, which will protect them from what's coming because we feel we can help. So we started the Dove Self-Esteem Fund, which is a video that takes 1 hour to look at. 60 million girls have seen that thing to date. And it started me realizing that, as Michael Jackson would say, children are the future. It all started in the early teens, this quest for beauty, but beauty is everything. But beauty is ephemeral. As they say, beauty is just a bank account upon which you can only make withdrawals. And there's a belief that almost if you're ugly, you're lazy. Do something about it. And there's a belief, we started a lot of ladies believe in lots of research that beauty is really all they had, was almost 50 to 60 to 70% of what they had. Not their intelligence, not their inquisitiveness. And this was kind of wrong. So we did, all the work we did on Dove was really aimed at daughters. And this started me thinking about what else could I do? Because I've hence become an activist. I truly believe it. But what else could I do? Because the Dove has already started. What else can I do? So I started to write. And so I wrote lots of stuff. But the way I write was important to me because I write in close rhyme. Why? Music, if you think about music, when it is either a melancholy or sad, it evokes an emotion and generally evokes an empathy. I think that close rhyme is almost music to your mind. If it's close enough, it has a rhythm to it, a rhyme to it, a kind of song to it. I felt that might be a way to evoke emotion because when in advertising, you always have to write down what is the objective of this? What do you want to do? Sell. What do you want them to feel? You have to state, make them cry, which is what we said on Dove. But in a nice way, of course. So just a brief interlude before I get on to the legend. I've started doing different things. I made a documentary in Brazil, an hour-long documentary called Careless Words. Sadly, it's in Portuguese, and sadly, it's in Brazil. We can't do anything with it at the moment due to the obvious problems down there. But comes from what I wrote was careful words build esteem, help esteem, careless words harm esteem. Careful words are you're witty, you're funny, right? You're surprising, you're forever interesting, time cannot stale your infinite variety. Careless words say, you're pink, you're my princess, aren't you gorgeous, aren't you gorgeous? And so that's all they hear, some of these girls. Whilst you should not start saying it, but blend it with other things which build up their self-esteem, their inner strength. Not just say what they look like, because that sets them on a course which isn't very good in terms of how they will progress, because if they think that how they look is 50% or 60% what they are, looks fade, but quite often intelligence, wit, knowledge, wisdom doesn't.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
COVID cases in the United States have continued their slow decline, with the seven-day average of new cases falling to a little more than 40,000 a day. That's the lowest level since last September. And with cases and hospitalizations falling, many are calling for restrictions to be rolled back. Dr. Scott Gottlieb believes that infection rates are low enough in a number of states for nearly all restrictions to be rolled back. The former commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration tells CBS's Face the Nation that if vaccination rates are high in a jurisdiction, local officials should look at lifting those indoor restrictions.
So we're at the point right now we could start lifting these ordinances and allowing people to resume normal activities. Certainly outdoors, we shouldn't be putting limits on gatherings anymore. We should be encouraging people to go outside. In the states where prevalence is low, vaccination rates are high, and we have good testing in place, so we're identifying infections, I think we could start lifting these restrictions indoors as well on a broad basis.
You're listening to USA Radio News. The price of gasoline is up 6 cents a gallon this week and expected to increase over the next several days due to a cyber attack. John Clemens reports.
Colonial Pipeline, the nation's largest, has been shut down since Friday after the cyber attack. A Russian criminal group is believed to be responsible for the shutdown of the 5,500-mile network that supplies 45% of the gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel to the East Coast. Trilby Lundberg is a petroleum analyst.
No one knows the duration that this cyber attack may cause the crippling of the Colonial Pipeline. There are efforts to prepare for movement of fuel via barge and other vessels, and also to import more gasoline from Europe. However, no one knows how long it will take.
From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
The White House has declared a regional state of emergency for the 17 states affected by the pipeline shutdown. This is USA Radio News.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
I'm going to the man cave.
Going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. I'm going to the man cave. Yeah, going to the man cave.
Oh. Lots of controversy in the man cave this time around, including DeChambeau finishing tied for ninth after mix-up over the cut. How does that happen? And the big one, the Derby champ, facing a disqualification. Bob Baffert banned by the track Churchill Downs. He's not happy with that. And a couple of other things we're going to throw in as well. We'll be talking about this in the man cave, so welcome. Let's start with the Derby champ and how crazy this is. Medina Spirit fails the post-race drug test. Bob Baffert banned at Churchill Downs, like I said. If you think about it, you think about the race and you think of the win that Medina Spirit had in at the Derby, clearly winning that, and it seemed like a clear-cut finish. But then, of course, there is the drug part of this, and what Churchill Downs is saying is they're suspending Baffert in the latest scandal to plague the sport. He's denying all wrongdoing. He promised to be fully transparent with the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission during its investigation. Baffert's barn got word over the weekend that Medina Spirit had tested positive for an excessive amount of a steroid, which is sometimes used to treat inflammation, pain, etc., in horses, and you can't do that. For now, the Medina Spirit's win stands.
And the track said failure to comply with the rules and medication protocols jeopardize the safety of horses and jockeys. And we've seen this before, the sport's integrity and the Derby's reputation, and they won't tolerate it. But given the seriousness of the alleged offense, Churchill Downs will immediately suspend Bob Baffert, the trainer of Medina Spirit, from entering any horses at Churchill Downs racetrack. And his attorney, Baffert's attorney, Craig Robertson, the legendary trainer, says he, in a statement by his attorney, the legendary trainer said he plans to be proactive in verifying the test results. He said, I intend to thoroughly and transparently investigate the matter to determine how this could have happened. We will have the split sample analyzed and DNA testing and all that stuff. That's the first step in the process. So this was pretty big. You know, about $155 million plus was bet on the Derby, the pari-mutuel pool. An estimated $11 million to $12 million was bet on Medina Spirit based on the odds to win, 12-1. And an estimated $3 million to $4 million went on Mandolin, who went off at 26-1, who was the horse that came in who came in second. So this is a very, very, very big deal. And it was just last month that Bob Baffert won an appeals case before the Arkansas Racing Commission after he'd been suspended by Oaklawn Park stewards for 15 days for a pair of positive drug tests involving two of his horses that won at the track on May 2nd in 2020. The horses tested positive for a painkiller, which Baffert said they were exposed to inadvertently. So all eyes on this. I mean, this is a very, very, very huge story, needless to say. Because this is a sport that's really fighting for its life. I mean, that's the other part of this. DeChambeau, one of my favorite players, Bryson DeChambeau, got mixed up apparently in Charlotte, North Carolina. He believed he had missed the cut at the Wells Fargo Championship to shoot a pair of 68s and finish tied for ninth, six shots back of the winner, Rory McIlroy. He's ranked fifth in the world, and he joked that it was an expensive mistake to have traveled home after the second round and then have to head back on his NetJets private travel deal. So that's what, you know, so that's what happened. He went home. He thought he missed it, and then he had to turn around and come back all of a sudden. With his finish Sunday, he makes about $228,000 in change. He says that does cover the tab at least. So, wow. I mean, how does that happen? He said he didn't want to disappoint Wells Fargo and Quail Hollow and the guys who put up the tournament and give so much to charity. So he said Saturday he was briefly considering withdrawing Friday night after returning home and learning about his score over par, had made the 36-hole cut. He left because at the time he finished, when he finished, he was around 90th place and thought he had no chance. As it turned out, like I said, he ended up tied for 64th, eight shots back of the 36-hole leaders at that point. And then he said, it was worth it, no doubt. That's what I was hoping to do this weekend when I was on the plane at 2:45 a.m. on Saturday. I wanted to make it worth it, come out here and finish. So DeChambeau is scheduled to play this weekend at the AT&T Byron Nelson, followed by the PGA Championship the following week. Which, by the way, Rory McIlroy, my favorite Irish golfer, wins the Wells Fargo Championship by one stroke for the first win for him in 18 months. He's had a terrible drought. And he did say that his neck locked up during his final practice session, and if he didn't have a late tee time on Thursday, he would have had to withdraw. He said it was that, you know, that bad. But he finished great down the stretch at Quail Hollow, the course I just mentioned that DeChambeau was playing on, obviously in the same tournament, and that made a big difference. You know, he was able to smash a 7-iron. We're going to get technical here. I couldn't do this. He hit a 7-iron over the water on the 17th, and then he took a penalty drop from a dangerous lie in a hazard on the closing hole, and et cetera. And so he did well. He, I mean, winning after all that time period. So good for Rory McIlroy. He said it's one of his favorite places to play in the world. He picked up his first PGA Tour title at Quail Hollow. It's a little piece of history here, back in 2010. So he was happy to have gone back there and made some noise, and he definitely made some noise. All right, so other crazy things that have happened over this last couple of days sports-wise is this, too. The Pelicans, New Orleans, and I know a lot of people listen to us, and one of my favorite cities, New Orleans, David Griffin has been fined $50,000 for criticizing officiating over Zion Williamson's finger injury. So on Friday, Griffin said that Williamson fractured his left ring finger, which will keep him out indefinitely. He said it was avoidable if the NBA did a better job officiating his franchise superstar. He didn't specify when the injury occurred, but he said he believes the injury was likely the result of a bunch of hits, an accumulation of hits, and he said he was frustrated because it was avoidable. And he said, look, we told the NBA through every means available to us, through sending in film, through speaking to everybody in the officials department and everybody in basketball operations, that the way they were officiating Zion was going to get him injured. And Griffin said, frankly, he's injured because of the open season that there's been on Zion Williamson in the paint. So in one way, yay, Blake. I mean, he's saying what he's saying is ridiculous, that he's getting mauled. And he even compared it. He said, there's more violence encouraged in the paint than any player I've seen since Shaquille O'Neal. And the Pelicans, of course, are a couple of games behind the Spurs for the last play-in spot in the Western Conference. Williamson is averaging 27 points, 7.2 boards, and almost 4 assists per game. So it's big to not have him in the lineup. So I guess, in a way, do I blame Blake for sounding off? When you shoot off like that, you're going to pay the price. So, I mean, what is $50,000 to Blake? So I'm going to say, hey, you know, brother, you saw what was happening, and you just told it like it was. Naomi Osaka is very conflicted. She's an incredible tennis player. She's conflicted over whether the Tokyo Olympics should be held amid all the coronavirus pandemic talk, of course, and what we're going through. She's the second-ranked tennis player who represents Japan. She was asked about the games at the Italian Open on Sunday, and she said, of course, I would want to say I want to play the Olympics because I'm an athlete, and that's sort of what I've been waiting for my entire life, but there's other stuff going on. I think a lot of unexpected things have happened, and it's putting people at risk, and if it's making people uncomfortable, then it definitely should be a discussion, which I think it is right now, and it is. The Tokyo Olympics, remember, were postponed from 2020, and opposition seems to be rising in Japan about holding the games this year. The virus and its spreading variants are taxing Japan's healthcare system, with only 2% of the population vaccinated. So you do the math. The games are supposed to open July 23rd. So think of what's happening in Japan. Think of them opening, etc. I mean, the IOC recently said that the vaccine developers Pfizer and BioNTech would donate doses to inoculate athletes and officials preparing for Tokyo. The IOC has repeatedly said that the Olympics were being organized as if the vaccines were not available, but they pushed hard to get athletes vaccinated. So what is that going to look like? It's such a big question mark. I remember doing a lot of TV and radio interviews when the Olympics first went down in 2020. And in the beginning, there was a push that that was going to happen. And I thought, oh, that's ridiculous. There's no way those Olympics are going off. And now here we are talking about, well, what about these Olympics? And what's that gonna look like? Yeah, crazy. All right, I have to end on a good guy note, because this was a great story that I heard the other day. Former NFL defensive end Brandon Bear saved a guy from a flaming semi truck minutes after it had been hit by a train. He was driving in St. Anthony, Idaho, last week when he saw a train plow into a semi-truck. It triggered an explosion. After he called 911, he sprinted into action. He heard a voice in the truck, and he pulled him out of the truck. How awesome is that? So, woohoo, good for you, Bear. Wonderful that you saw that, made the call, and then you rescued him as well. All right, we're out of the man cave. Hang with us. the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This time around on Author's Corner is Leslie Ann Eden, and she's got the Eden Trilogy. And this woman is fascinating in the UK. The things that she's experienced, the things that she shares in her book are wide-ranging and I think very relatable to many people. Tell us why you wrote the Eden Chronicles.
Well, I wrote them, Kate, because I feel that, you know, as you said, I'm probably one of the world's most scaredy cats. I'm frightened of so many things. And I made myself go out and experience many things. And I think that, you know, if I did that, other people can as well, because my books are about amazing and wonderful psychic and paranormal experiences, which show us that we are much more than our bodies. I mean, for example, Shakespeare said that, you know, there's much more in heaven and on earth than we ever dreamed of. And that's one of the things that I wanted to prove in my books. It's also about my personal struggle as one woman's survival against all odds. And I just think that if I've done it and I've managed to do it, then other people, surely other people can do it too. And it's about experiencing the so-called impossible. I've experienced time travel, healing, battling evil spirits, even becoming invisible. I mean, that's difficult to believe, of remote viewing and prophecies. In my third book, I prophesied the pandemic, and I describe on page 245 of the third book the experience of being in the city when everything was locked down, closed down, the deaths, and I also describe where the actual pandemic started. So I do have visions, and it's about alien experiences. That's very difficult to take in. And also travel. I've traveled across the world and experienced many, many things which I want to share with people. Because again, you know, if little old me living in a forest, in a wooden hut in England can do this and go out there, then I'm sure that many other people can. And I want to inspire them to do it.
You know, and it's interesting, a couple of things. Because you have those psychic and paranormal abilities, and you've had them your whole life, the things that yes. you've been open to have been incredible, as you were talking to me off the air. And one of them, I wanted to share just a little snippet of this story, because people loved Wayne Dwyer, Dwayne Dwyer. He was such an amazing person. And really helped a lot of people. And you had an experience with him. Explain that.
Yes. I only knew of Wayne Dyer's work through his books and looking at clips of him. So I hadn't, you know, a great experience of him. But about 2 years ago, I had my second hip replacement. And on returning home to my little lodge in the forest, I was in a great deal of pain and I couldn't sleep and I was crying out to the universe for help. And I turned my head to the side where I have a huge stained glass mirror in the shape of a church window, and a man's face came gliding through it, and I recognized him as Wayne, and I was in such pain that I didn't even question it. And he spoke to me softly, and I fell asleep. In the morning, I thought, oh, I've had an amazing dream. It was really, really wonderful, but it was just a dream. And I turned on my computer, and there staring at me was a photograph of Wayne, and he was smiling, and he was offering a download of his book, Wishes Fulfilled. I was really surprised. And I thought, well, you know, is that a coincidence? But I decided to go into a meditation to find out if I had actually had a communication with him. And it was very quick, that he came through very, very quickly. And he said, yes, that he'd been to me. And he said, you needed help and you called with a pure heart. And he also said, besides, you need a hand up. And I thought that was a bit funny. And I questioned him about many things. He said that death, for instance, you know, when you hit the wall, it's a different experience for everyone. And you can't say what it's like because it's different for everybody. It's a unique experience. And I thought, yes, well, you know, I wish I could help you. And he said, well, I want you to do a collaboration with me. And I said, no, I'm not good enough to do that. You know, you're such an amazing person. And he said, with your descriptive poetic ability and my knowledge, we could reach many people. And I was unsure of that because I didn't realize that at the time it was a possibility. And he's very, very concerned that in our brave new world that it's important to maintain and to understand above all that we are love energy. And he's very concerned about three main areas, and that is, one is transhumanism. And that is the empowerment of the human to become superhuman. And he's afraid that within this quest, we will lose our own spirituality. And, there's even, you know, cyborg technology now, which is available on the internet, and you can get implants. I mean, how far are we going to take it? And he's also concerned about cryogenics, and that is the technology of the promise of eternal life when you freeze a body to the point of death and then you're brought back to life. He's concerned about what happens to the spirit consciousness in that. And he's also concerned about the question of us living in a holographic reality. We're being told at the moment that, you know, our reality is holographic. And he's concerned that, you know, if we're living in a simulated, computerized reality, what is it? Where is our spirituality in this? I mean, Einstein said reality is merely an illusion, albeit a very persistent one. But I believe personally that we are so much more, and so does Wayne too, and I think that's why he wants to do a collaboration with me. And wow. Do want to make the difference between, you know, when a spirit comes through and you just relate what a spirit says. Well, this is different for me because I often question things, and it's a question of not him telling me, it's a collaboration between the two of us. And I hope that will be the source of the fifth book.
And that, so it's so interesting hearing you talk about Wayne Dyer, and again, the difference, and that's the difference in what your life has been like and what has happened to you. And I wanted to touch just on the travel a little bit too, because you've traveled all over the world, so you've seen a lot of things. And one of the things that you told me is right before the pandemic, you went to China and you had the chance to really be involved with something phenomenal, the pandas. Tell us about that experience.
Well, I love to travel. And when I went to China, well, the main thing was I wanted to become a panda keeper. I love pandas. And in traveling out over there, I wanted to experience what it was like to be in a place not able to speak the language, not knowing anything, not knowing anyone, and placing yourself, when you place yourself out in the universe, you are at the mercy of the universe, and it's fantastic to feel that you are aligned to the universe if you just keep on believing that. And I know that Wayne was a great believer in this. You know, we can overcome many, many things, and I probably am the world's most scaredy cat at doing things, but I think when you have a belief and an understanding that we are not our bodies, we are spirit, then, you know, we can overcome a lot more things than we believe that we can.
We are more than we think we are. Leslie Ann Eden, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I've just thoroughly enjoyed this. And, you know, I think that I'm a great fan of yours.
Thank you
very much for having me on the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.